I think you can get started. How do I turn this off?
I need to get my list ready, too.
Remind me to download.
No problem.
Okay. Right, that's right.
I think I see where it is. It's workable.
Okay. Well, that's encouraging.
She's really hard on mine. She really wants. We're tied to shoes.
Good.
They need parking. They would actually accept this.
Where are you at in this whole BLF thing?
Yeah.
Go
back. Yeah, what's for us?
I would love to redesign.
It never stops selling, you
know. Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Sten?
Here.
Potter?
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Carla, please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Agenda item 63, accept the report of the Charter Review Commission, a city government for Portland's future.
Today, the City Council is being asked to accept the report of the City Charter Commission that the City Council appointed by written resolution in November 2005. We'll have a chance to study these recommendations, hear from the public, and discuss the Commission's work before we vote early next month. The Council asks the Commission to review, evaluate, and recommend any changes for improvements in four areas of the City Charter: civil service, PDC and the City Council, the form of government, and periodic charter review. What you have before you is the product of 14 months of work, over 2,000 volunteer hours of meetings, the most in-depth examination this charter has ever had. This work has been tedious and glamorous, but critically important. In addition to all the commission meetings, which were on cable TV, 32 community meetings were held all over the city, arranged by the commission to seek input from community members. The list of community meetings is available on the last page of the report you have in front of you. The work of this commission, if we refer it to the ballot to be approved by voters, will result in significant improvements in Portland. I'm awed by the commitment and the thoughtful recommendations contained in this report. I not only want to thank the commission, but also the advisory committee that was involved in the commission meetings and process. On February 7th, I will bring back the proposed charter amendment language and ballot titles for the Council to vote on to refer these amendments to the voters. There will be four separate documents, so voters will be able to vote separately on each recommendation. At that time, I will have incorporated the additional language to the PDC recommendation proposed by Commissioner Sten and myself earlier this month. We'd like to have David Wong, Chair of the Charter Review Commission, to please come forward and present the Commission report.
Thank you, Mayor Potter. Mayor, City Commissioners, on behalf of the City of Portland's Charter Review Commission, I would like to thank you on many fronts. First and foremost, thank you for creating this wonderfully diverse Citizens Commission, with members drawn from all quarters of the city, reflecting an array of ages, ethnicities, experiences, and backgrounds. We are professionals, laborers, city employees, the self-employed, community organizers, representatives of nonprofits, students and retirees, Latino, African American, Asian American, Native American. This commission reflects the face of Portland. I understand that each of you played a role in selecting the members of this commission, and so I thank each of you individually for allowing all these different and disparate voices to gather around the table, to meet as a group, and to discuss together these issues that are of such great import to our city. Thank you also for entrusting us with this historic and some would say daunting task. As you know, it's been over 80 years since we as a city have examined our city charter, our governing document, in any great detail. So thank you for giving us, ordinary citizens, this task and this opportunity to take the first step in preparing our city charter for the challenges and opportunities of the 21st century. Finally, thank you for taking the time to meet with us today. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to present our written report and recommendations that come after the expenditure of thousands upon thousands of volunteer hours invested in interviews, research, analysis, deliberation, and debate. I would like to take a moment to introduce the members of the Charter Review Commission. Some of them you know, each of you may know individually, others perhaps you recognize from the many meetings the Charter Review Commission has had with you over the last 14 months. This being 2 p.m. in the afternoon, I'm not sure everyone is here, but I'll go down the roll and we'll see who is. Bob Ball, Melanie Davis, Jillian Detweiler, Bruce Harder, our vice chair, is absent, he's out of town, Ed Hall, Joe Hertzberg, Jim Hosmer, Chris Hudson, David Kelleher, Nicole Maher, Peg Malloy, David Martinez, Jim Meyer, Paul Meyer was unable to join us today, he's out of town, Robin Plants, Emily Ryan, Nohad Tulan, Harold Williams, and Loretta Young. I also should mention that we initially started with 26 members in November 2005. When you created this commission in November 2005, we were asked to serve through July 2006. All 26 original members served actively and contributed actively during that first term. In July 2006, we were then asked to continue serving until 2007. Unfortunately, at that time, six of our members were not able to sign up for the additional term, but I wanted to take a moment to recognize them because their contributions were made as well. Bo Barnes graduated from Lewis and Clark College and moved to Southern Oregon, so was unable to participate in the second second phase. Guy Crawford was not able to participate in the second phase due to work and schedule demands. Leanne Locker received a promotion, and her work and schedule demands prevented her from participating in the second phase. Both Susan McGee and Judy O'Connor could not serve during the second term due to health-related issues, and Charles Wilhoit, who was our first chair, our former chair, resigned because you appointed him to the PDC. I'd also like to take a moment to mention the members of our Honorary Advisory Committee, Baruti Arthuri, Dan Bernstein, Sam Brooks, Gail Castillo, Mayor Bud Clark, Sho DeZono, Roy Jay, Mayor Vera Katz, Jamie Lim, Commissioner Mike Lindbergh, and Governor Barbara Roberts. Before turning to our specific recommendations, I'd like to highlight three key concepts that are mentioned briefly in our report because I think they're key to understanding our recommendations. First, we were not unanimous in all of the specific recommendations contained in our report. Frankly, I would be worried if we were. I think all of us should be worried if we were unanimous. This is a diverse, intelligent group of citizens who had no compunction calling it like it is, each reasoning independently, impartially, and after 14 months of work, of careful and thoughtful research, analysis, and deliberation, making their own independent judgment. Of course, there are differences of opinion within the Citizens Charter Review Commission, just like there are differences of opinion with regard to these issues on the City Council, and just like there will be differences of opinion among the 560,000 residents of this city. The point is that reasonable people can disagree, even when they have the same facts in hand. What we present to you today is a set of recommendations, each supported by a clear majority of the Charter Review Commission. But the report, is the report of the entire commission. In sum, there are and always will be differences of opinion. That's just a fact of life that the Charter Review Commission accepts. It's also the beauty of having an informed and concerned citizenry. The second key concept I'd like to mention is the concept of being forward-looking. I've mentioned this to each of you individually, but I think it's important to emphasize this again. Portlanders are a progressive bunch. We pride ourselves on being forward-looking, of planning smartly for our future. It's in keeping with those traditions that the Charter Review Commission makes its recommendations. We all acknowledge that Portland is a city of many successes. It also perhaps is not performing as well in certain areas as comparable cities. But that's not the question. The question isn't whether we're better than the rest. The question is not whether we're content with the way things are. The question is whether there's a better way, whether we are reaching our potential. Are there changes we can make now that will enable us to more easily overcome the challenges and seize the opportunities that we will encounter in the coming decades? That's the question. The third key concept underlying our report are our six core values. Very early on in this process, the Charter Review Commission identified six core values or six core principles that we felt were integral to any well-functioning city government and to Portland city government in particular. These six core values are listed in our report, but I'll recount them here. There are accountability and integrity, efficiency, effectiveness, responsiveness and accessibility, representation and inclusiveness, and finally, leadership. In carrying out its duties, in formulating solutions, in making its recommendations, the Charter Review Commission has attempted to come up with solutions that promote or at least preserve these six core values. So with those three key concepts in mind, let me turn to our recommendations themselves. As Mayor Potter mentioned, when we were convened in November 2005, you charged us with examining four areas of the Charter. First, form of government, which is found in Chapters 1 and 2 of the Charter. Second, Portland Development Commission and its relationship to the city, which is in Chapter 15 of the Charter. Third, civil service, which is in Chapter 4 of the Charter. And finally, whether the city should adopt some form of periodic charter review. After 14 months of interviews, research, analysis, and deliberation, after 14 months of carefully evaluating and examining the multitude of alternatives available to us, after 14 months of carefully crafting a set of recommendations that we believe best fit Portland's culture and the Portland way, I am pleased to announce that we have the following recommendations. First, with regard to form of government, we as a commission found that Portland's existing form of government has inherent structural weaknesses that would likely constrain the city in the future. For example, first but not necessarily foremost, the commission's structure is an inefficient structure. By having simultaneously five heads of state, each responsible for administering different city bureaus, the commission form inherently erects silos that cause symptoms such as lack of coordination, lack of adequate communication between bureaus, inconsistent policies that can vary drastically from bureau to bureau. The commission structure also lacks sufficient levels of accountability. It's widely accepted in the literature that the commission form of government lacks the holistic checks and balances necessary for modern city government. Also, while the commission structure may be accessible to those who are familiar with the structure, it can be a difficult structure to access and navigate for those who aren't. Furthermore, in the commission structure, responsiveness is largely ad hoc rather than systematic. In the ideal city government, accessibility and responsiveness of city bureaus should be consistently applied, and city services should be consistently and fairly delivered by all city bureaus based upon unified policies. Now, most members of the Charter Review Commission concluded that these weaknesses could not be remedied simply by making modifications to the existing commission form of government. As a result, the majority of members concluded that Portland should abandon the commission structure. And after examining and assessing a wide variety of alternative forms, a majority of members concluded that the city should adopt a mayor, council, chief administrative officer form. That form can be summarized as follows. The role of the city's professional chief administrative officer, or CAO, would be expanded to oversee and coordinate day-to-day management over the operations of all the city bureaus. The CAO, and incidentally all bureau directors, would be appointed by the mayor, subject to confirmation by the city council. Upon confirmation, the CAO would be directly accountable to and removable by the mayor. The mayor would act as the chief elected executive official of the city, with ultimate authority and political accountability for the city's operations. The city council's role would be expanded to focus on legislative oversight of those city operations, policy development, budget, long-term strategic planning, and greater opportunities for constituent communication and representation. In the recommended form, the mayor would continue to sit on city council but would not have a separate veto power. There are many more features of our recommended form of government. Specifics can be found beginning on page 8 of the Charter Review Commission's written report. Our second set of recommendations relate to the Portland Development Commission and its relationship to the city. Chapter 15 of the Charter. Based upon an analysis of existing federal and state laws, the majority of the Citizens Commission recommends that the PDC remain a quasi-independent entity, but that the City Council be provided additional oversight authority and a greater voice in PDC's work. These oversight mechanisms are detailed in our written report. The majority's recommendation also clarifies the respective roles and responsibilities of the PDC and the City Council in the areas of urban renewal, economic development, and housing. Beginning on page 12 of our written report, specifics about our PDC recommendation can be found. Our third set of recommendations relate to civil service, Chapter 4 of the Charter. The majority of the Citizens Commission recommends that the city streamline and modernize Chapter 4 of the city charter to eliminate outdated, confusing, or conflicting language while maintaining protections for employees. Specifics about our civil service recommendations can be found beginning on page 14 of the Charter Review Commission's written report. Our fourth set of recommendations relate to periodic charter review. In keeping with Portland's traditions of civic engagement and our continuing evolution as a community, the majority of the Citizens Commission recommends that the city institutionalize periodic charter review. Specifically, at least every 6 years, the City Council should convene a Citizens Charter Review Commission that is representative of the city as a whole, to review aspects of the city charter and to recommend their charter amendments to the city council and directly to the voters of the city. We also recommend that the first such charter review commission be formed within 2 years after the implementation of this Charter Review Commission's recommendations to address certain pressing issues that we identified during our process. These pressing issues include whether the city of Portland should move to district voting or some alternative election format, whether we should alter our size of city council, whether a charter preamble should be adopted to codify Portland's community values for better alignment with the results of Vision PDX and Community Connect, and further streamlining and modernization of our charter. Beginning on page 24 of our written report, you'll find actual revised charter language that we believe will implement the four recommendations I've just cited. At this time, I'd also like to thank City Attorney Linda Meng and her staff for their invaluable contributions and assistance in this process, especially in crafting the necessary legal language that you find in the revised charter sections. So that is a summary in a nutshell of the Charter Review Commission's report and recommendations, a very large nutshell, but a nutshell nonetheless. In addition to our report, there are some additional items that we wish to address. And perhaps I should go back to something I said a few minutes ago. And that is that reasonable people can disagree, even when they have the same facts in hand. At this point in time, the vast majority of Portlanders do not know about the Charter Review Commission's recommendations, nor do they understand or know of the reasons for those recommendations. They're not fluent in the countervailing issues and arguments associated with each of these issues that you assign to us. In other words, they don't have all the facts in hand. Presumably, these are matters of great import, you formed a citizens commission to examine them carefully. It's highly unlikely that Portlanders will have an opportunity to obtain the necessary facts unless this commission's recommendations are referred to the ballot for consideration by our fellow citizens. We have a historic opportunity here. City Council convened a diverse citizens commission to plot a roadmap for our future. We have an opportunity to plan thoughtfully and carefully for our collective future as a city. At your request and instruction, the Charter Review Commission has done the hard work. The Charter Review Commission now respectfully requests that the City Council refer these recommendations to the ballot so that the residents of the city can have a voice and make an informed decision about the future of this great city. And I will point out the residents with whom we've discussed our recommendations do want to have this discussion. At this point, I would like to present to you letters received from the following groups urging referral of the Charter Review Commission's recommendations. Letters of support from Southeast Uplift Neighborhood Program, East Portland Neighborhoods, Elders in Action, the League of Women Voters, the Portland Business Alliance, and the Small Business Advisory Council. I also understand that a member of our honorary advisory committee is here to make a statement. Sho DiZono.
Mayor Potter and city commissioners, sometime when we get gray hair and gray beard or no hair, we have opportunity to serve as honorary capacity rather than doing the hard work that the commission has done. And I'd like to read a statement signed by all of the honorary advisory board that David just reiterated. As members of the honorary advisory committee to the Portland Chapter Review Commission, we voice our support of the work of the commission and urge the city council to refer the recommendation of the commission to the voters of the city at the earliest opportunity. By council resolution in November 2005, City Council charged the Commission with examining and recommending possible amendments to the section of the City Charter relating to the city's form of government, civil service, and the Portland Development Commission and its relationship to the city. You also asked the Commission to recommend whether periodic charter review should be institutionalized in the Charter. This broadly based and diverse citizen commission has carried out your charge diligently, thoughtfully, and with the best interest of the community in mind. We believe that these volunteers all have demonstrated dedication to providing a thorough and unbiased set of recommendations for your consideration and the consideration of their fellow Portlanders. Portland has a long tradition of civic engagement that will continue to flourish only if residents can expect that their perspectives are taken seriously, provided due consideration. At your behest, the members of the Charter Review Commission have prepared and presented a set of recommendations of great significance to our collective future as Portlanders. Whether one agrees or disagrees with the particulars of each of these recommendations, all of the recommendations deserve consideration by Portland voters. We urge you to facilitate the larger public debate, and these recommendations should have by referring the Commission's recommendation to the ballot. Respectfully submitted, is members of the advisory committee.
Thank you.
Happy to entertain any questions City Council may have.
I'll have questions later.
Yeah, I have some questions.
Yes.
Chair Wang, thank you also for your service, and I want to thank everybody involved. I mean, you mentioned many times how many hours people worked, and I think that's very much noted. I don't think it's very easy to deal with these things, and I think it's going to be a pretty robust debate from here on out. And so I hope you guys have not decided you're not going to do any more work, because I think it's far from done. And but I just wanted to get a few more opening comments and then kind of get a better sense of what the commission is arguing, particularly on the form of government. And I have some questions on the civil service, but I think they're relatively straightforward, and we have some more time before we get to the ballot. I also have some questions on the maybe I'll ask this one quickly. I looked at the institutionalization of the charter review, and that makes sense to me. The recommendation itself appears to be a little loose in terms of, you know, exactly how that group would go about getting things to the ballot. You know, for example, if you appointed 20 people but only 10 showed up, could 5 people send it to the ballot? It's a pretty pretty soft bit of language for something that would have the power to bypass elected officials and the initiative process. So I don't know if there's a mechanism. I don't think that's the intention, but I don't know if there's a mechanism to go back. I mean, to be blunt, I don't think that one is ballot ready, but I think that the thought is good. So I just wanted to kind of get a sense of, on those kind of things where there isn't a whole lot of dispute on the idea, but it needs some more work, how we're going to go about looking at those things. And you may dispute that that's the language that's ready to go, and sure, that would be a different matter.
Sure. Certainly, if city council members have a recommendation that they think is consistent with the spirit of our recommendations, are an improvement, or as you say, maybe it's not ballot ready, it's certainly something that we as a Charter Review Commission can take up. Not as, I can't guarantee that we would come to some sort of conclusion, but we stand ready to look at those issues.
Okay. I just had a couple questions. I wanted to get a little more thinking on the form of government, and then a couple of process questions. I guess kind of the basic question, and you and I have talked about this a bit, as I have with many of the members, but this is, to my knowledge, the first time that sort of there's been an interaction that people can actually watch and see, so I wanted to ask a few of the questions for the benefit of the audience. But what would you describe as the problem that the proposal is trying to fix in terms of the form of government?
It's a very broad-based question. There are certain inherent structural weaknesses in the commission form of government, and these are structural weaknesses. We attempted to take personality out of the equation because the charter deals with structure as opposed to personality.
I appreciate that.
So what we have are things that I cited in my presentation. For example, the commission form is inherently an inefficient form. To have 5 separate heads of state administering bureaus separately, it raises issues of lack of coordination between city bureaus, lack of communication between city bureaus, and differing policies between different bureaus, also different management styles as between different bureaus. There are also issues of responsiveness and accessibility. Under the commission form of government, I think we would all agree that it can be very accessible and responsive, but that's on an ad hoc basis depending upon who's in charge of a specific bureau. There's very little coordination that goes on between bureaus. The culture can vary between bureau to bureau. In an ideal form of government, and granted there perhaps is no ideal form of government, maybe there's just a better form of government for Portland. I think that's probably an accurate statement. But in an ideal form of government, you hopefully would have systematic responsiveness and accessibility. In other words, there's consistency across all city bureaus. There's consistency and fairness in delivery of city services by all city bureaus. So those are some of the weaknesses in the existing form of government that we think would be addressed and remedied, or at least made more readily available in the mayor, council, chief administrative officer form.
And how would a centralized administration remedy the things you just mentioned?
So for example, with regard to policies, differing policies that vary from bureau to bureau, perhaps just depending upon history or depending upon which commissioner is in charge, by aligning all of the bureaus under a single professional manager, that manager, at the direction of city council, can impose a consistent vision, a consistent set of policies across all city bureaus. It's a structural remedy. That's not to say that it's not a panacea, but it facilitates better the idea of a more consistent policy setting by the government.
And then could you give me a couple examples of the types of policies you found to be inconsistent under this form that would be fixed?
Sure. Well, first, you know, I don't want to talk about deficiencies that may have occurred under the watch of this city council or its predecessors, but I'll give you some high-level examples.
Well, I don't think that's a problem, actually. I mean, I think one of the potential strengths, and I'm trying to weigh the arguments of this council, let's say, for example, the water bills, I think people have heard of that, is that as the water commissioner, I had to take responsibility and accountability and work with the public on the response. My fear under your form is that the chief officer would have fired the water director as I did and then not taken responsibility. And it's hard to imagine the mayor would have taken responsibility. So I don't shy away from talking about mistakes that have been made and problems that have occurred under this form of government. I don't think you should either.
Well, no.
I think we have to talk about in the real world, what would your form accomplish versus this form, whether or not you get to the ballot. I mean, it's even more important if you want to go to the ballot that the argument can be articulated in a way that citizens can understand. And so I think it's really important that you not say, I'm not willing to say policies that I don't think work. Say the policies you don't think work so we can talk about
it. Right. Well, let me back up first. Let's talk real world. In a mayor, council, chief administrative officer form, if the bureau director of the water bureau screwed up with the water billing system, I find it highly unlikely that the city council would not hold the chief administrative officer to task for that failure. I mean, they would probably hold the water bureau director they probably hold him or her to the fire, but I'm sure they would hold the CAO to the fire as well.
What would that accomplish for the citizens that wasn't accomplished by holding the water bureau director accountable?
You probably achieve the same result, but the question arises, would the same thing have happened, or the same thing have happened under the mayor, council, CAO form? In other words, did the problem arise due to lack of coordination between the bureaus? Did it occur because of lack of communication between the bureaus? I mean, it's not simply just the result. It's also setting up the circumstances and facilitating success as a city. And let me give you two examples here. You know, let me give you several examples. In this city, the police, fire, and 911 bureaus, all under separate commissioners. Our public utilities, sewer, water, cable, all under different commissioners. We did interviews with bureau directors. And some of the comments we received back were, our system isn't as efficient as it would be with the strong mayor or city manager form. Siloed responsibilities lead to a lack of holistic view and amplifies the amount of individual influence a council member can have on a specific subject. There's lack of alignment between bureaus. There's lack of a holistic strategic approach. Council should be legislative, not operational.
And Mr. Wang, those are important, and I don't want to cut you off, but the question was specific. I was responding to an assertion that policies aren't coordinated under this form of government, and I'm just trying to get some sense of what kinds of policies you see. I think there's a general sense that almost everybody agrees to, and it's a much broader debate if it's factually true that sort of more solidified corporate structures have more efficiency and broader structures like the one we have now have some other strengths. And I'm not interested in the broader topic. I'm interested in sort of, it's an important topic, but what are the kinds of policies that you think, and I'm assuming you've seen some because you mentioned that's why you want to change
it. I would be careful not to kind of characterize this as a more corporate model, because clearly, Portland is the only city in the major city in the country that doesn't use a different model. Portland is the only major city in the United States that continues to adhere to the commission form of government. Every other major city in America has moved to a strong mayor form or a council mayor form or some hybrid. So I think we should be careful not to characterize it as a corporate form, because clearly it's something that other cities have adopted. But let me get to an example. You know, Commissioner Leonard himself a couple of years ago recognized the problem that we're referring to when he proposed consolidating the building permit applications under the supervision of development services. The idea was to promote communication between the city bureaus, like planning, transportation, BES. Up until that point in time, permit applicants had to navigate a half a dozen bureaus in order to get permits approved. And Commissioner Leonard was quoted in the paper saying there's a lack of coordination and lack of accountability. You have a whole lot of people responsible for a project as opposed to one person. It's in that vein that these recommendations are made, that there is value to having a single professional manager in charge coordinating. Now, the person would not be policymaking. Let me make that clear. The person is responsible for carrying out the policies that are adopted and articulated by city council. But what that professional manager does is dutifully and professionally carry out those policies in a coordinated fashion.
Now, and I just, so the policy that wasn't coordinated would be?
Yeah, what was quoted in the paper was that there were different cultures within the various bureaus. They had competing interests, and they weren't necessarily working to the same goal for the constituents, for applicants. There was an inconsistent policy. There was an inconsistent culture. And this alignment was intended to bring everyone together and coordinate the efforts of all the bureaus under a single process.
Now, and I guess, you know, and I'm not going to go too much longer, Mayor, but I think this is the beginning of the debate that needs to be discussed out there. And I guess my sense is, having worked in the system for quite some time, is that it's interesting that you point out Commissioner Leonard's success as the commissioner of BDS in improving the system as a weakness in this form of government, because what I've seen is that I can't say for sure whether or not we have way worse coordination than other places, because I haven't been there day to day. I don't think the committee actually argued that any one city or any other city was better. You just had a sense that this other form would be more coordinated. So I think it's kind of that way. It's a hard to prove proposition, and I've accepted that kind of argument from you guys. But I think what the strength of our system often is that by having a commissioner in charge of what I would call political second-tier bureaus, things that in most big cities mayors don't spend their time on, is that you have a certain political push teamed up with some management push when things like a permit system aren't working. And so it's hard for me to kind of take the argument that Commissioner Leonard's success, which I think is fairly unargued in this community, in getting the permit system working better the last 3 years is an argument against having a commissioner in charge of permits.
Right. Let me go back to something you said before. I mean, Claire, I think you and I are in agreement about let's call it rankings of cities. We came across much evidence about where Portland lays relative to comparable cities. There's empirical evidence out there, articles showing that Portland is not on top with regard to the delivery of city services. An article in the Urban Affairs Review from 2005 shows that in terms of efficiency of delivery of city services, Portland ranks 37th out of the large cities. The Milken Institute's report from last year regarding top cities' ability to create and retain quality jobs for its citizens, Portland ranked somewhere around, actually, 95 out of 200. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. There's the proposition, are we better than the rest? That's the wrong way to cast the question, because it depends on how you ask the question. It depends on what you're looking for. So ultimately, the question that the Charter Review Commission has asked itself is there a better way? Are we reaching our potential as a city? Can we do better? Can we make changes now that will make it easier for us in the future? And again, that kind of goes with the Portland, that's in alignment with the Portland tradition of trying to plan smartly for a collective future. This is, after all, supposedly the city that works. We just don't want us working harder than we need to in the future to reach the same point.
Well, I guess, Chair Wong, this is a great point, and it is the difficulty, and you and I have had really intellectually great conversations about this. I guess, I mean, I think most objective people would say, and I'm very proud of this work, so I'm going to say it, that Portland is run better and has performs better than most cities in the country. We were recently ranked the most sustainable city in the country. We constantly get best bicycling, best walking. We're ranked very high on kid-friendly and all sorts of issues. And so I actually do think we're better run than other cities. Is that not your viewpoint?
No, not at all. But what I'm saying is it depends upon what you're looking at. Clearly, we have an aging infrastructure. Are we planning properly for that? Are we prioritizing these issues properly as a city? That's a discussion that we need to have. The merits of the mayor council chief administrative officer form is that it allows the city council to take a more holistic view of the city and prioritize as needed, to look at the city as a whole and figure out what needs to be done. We have a limited pot of resources. Let's figure out what needs to be fixed first, or how do we best, what's the best way for it to basically do long-term strategic planning. Now, I know you have a concern regarding issues that perhaps would not in some other cities gain the headlines. I mean, I know you have special concern about housing in particular. Nothing in the mayor, council, chief administrative officer form of government prevents a city council member from championing a cause that he or she is passionate about. Absolutely nothing. If he or she wants to push legislation or become actively involved or push the chief executive to do something, the city council member still has the ability to do that. All we've done in our recommended form is take away the role the responsibilities and the burden of day-to-day administration of the city bureaus, and put that under the supervision of a single professional manager who is accountable to the mayor of the city after appointment and confirmation by the city council.
Well, I guess I'll stop here, but I just want to kind of make, I mean, I do see this as a more consolidated corporate form, and because I think corporations stress efficiency. And so I don't believe that greater efficiency and greater customer service are come as easily in a package as your commission is arguing. But I do think kind of the argument that you're relieving the commissioners of the burden of actually being working on issues is deserves some comment from commissioners, because I actually believe that, my read of history is that key things like, say, streetcars come from Commissioner Blumenauer and Commissioner Hales and now Commissioner Adams having what is a unique mix of ability to work the political system as well as have some say in the management arena. And there's direct accountability on issues to that elected official from the citizens. And so that's, I think there's not... I mean, the idea that it's a burden there, I think, is presumptuous of the commission to say, because I've never met a city commissioner who thinks it's a burden to take on these issues. Mm-hmm. I think it's an honor, and I've never met a legislative city commissioner from another city, and I've met hundreds, if not thousands, who really believes that from a strictly legislative position, you can champion homelessness in the way that I have the privilege to do in this city. So you don't get both.
Okay. I think that's just a fundamental disagreement between the Charter Review Commission and your views. And obviously, this is why we want to have the larger debate with our fellow citizens. It's a weighing of pros and cons. It's a balancing act. And ultimately, it should be up to the citizens of the city to decide which form of government they want to adopt for the future. But I want to go back and emphasize, I think it would be dangerous to say, in fact, I know it would be dangerous to say or to assert that the members of this Charter Review Commission intended the recommended form of government to be corporate or pro-business. I mean, we're attempting to enhance accountability. That's not at all pro-business. We're trying to expand citizen and legislative oversight. Well, how could that be construed as pro-business?
Corporate and pro-business in the way I use corporate are not synonymous. I was using corporate in the terms of organizational structure mm-hmm. that values efficiency over other ends. Mm-hmm. And in the corporate structure, efficiency is the number one goal. And efficiency is very important, but it's one of government's goals.
And even with that, I would have to disagree with. We identified six core values. None was more important than the other. We sought solutions that promoted all six of those core values. And so while the mayor council CAO form may be more efficient, we also feel that it enhances accessibility, fairness, responsiveness, all the core values that we identified. So I guess that's just a fundamental difference between the Charter Review Commission or the majority of the Charter Review Commission and your conclusions. But again, this is, we welcome these types of discussions because they're so fundamental to the way, these are such fundamental issues to the city. It's important that we have these discussions on a broader context so that citizens can decide for themselves.
Could we see if there are other questions from other commissioners, but we also have a number of people wanting to testify.
Sure. I mean, I assume that people have as much time as it takes on this council to get through. I mean, with all due respect, I got this report yesterday. It's stamped into my office January 18th. I got a preview, and there's a pretty aggressive push being said that the honorable thing for me to do is put this on the ballot. We've got to explore these issues a little more, folks. The fact that you guys met for thousands of hours doesn't mean we ought to have a one-hour hearing on this thing.
And I would just like to point out that I believe that you did receive a copy of the exact report last week. What you have in bound volume now is no different from what you received last week. And actually, I believe that when we met with you last week, we alerted you to that fact.
Well, let's say I got everything. I got this copy yesterday.
Which is exactly what you received last week.
Okay, so it's been a week. If you know, my point remains the same, it's actually amplified, that it's not... It doesn't work to say we've met for thousands of hours, put this on the ballot, and let's keep this thing moving. We need to talk about these pieces. And so this will lead to my last question then, Mayor. I've had some pushback, which I hadn't even thought about, and I think it's kind of interesting. I'm just curious the commission's point of view that you guys should take this out for public comment before you take it to a vote, before you ask us to take it to the vote. I mean, if I had, no matter how much time I had spent on it, if I had come before this council and said, here's a proposal that I want to take to the ballot, and we're not going to have any public hearings on it. As a finalized proposal, we're not going to take any public testimony on whether or not we've missed some ideas and made things better. I would be drowned out of the room. And so, you know, I'm curious to the notion that what's being presented to me is that this public hearing is all the actual public input you need that wasn't invited testimony. Typically you'd expect a commission to have hearings, you know, to go out and then take what they heard at the hearings and see if they couldn't improve their own work. And it appears that the process was take input in, debate it fully among a diverse group who are very smart, all of you included, and then send it out. And it seems to be missing a public process step from what I would typically expect. And I'm curious what you think about that.
I think the public process step was you convened a diverse citizens commission that allowed different voices to come to the table. During our process, we met with various groups to get some input. All of our processes, all of our meetings were open to the public, were televised. When we reached a set of preliminary recommendations, we engaged in aggressive public outreach to try to solicit comment, to see if we, as you said, missed anything, to see if it could be improved. And at the end of that period, we determined that the recommendations we came up with should, in fact, be our final recommendations. Now...
But they've only been out there for a week, and...
I think that actually our recommendations have been out there for several months. We engage in an aggressive public outreach. I mean, before we met with you, we did meet with several, and those organizations are listed in the report. We met with many neighborhood organizations and other stakeholder groups to try to get input before finalizing our recommendations.
No, I'm just asking the question. I'm confident based on the emails and other comments I've been getting, it's going to be a theme you're going to hear today, not from me, but from others who say, you know, I might very well support this, but I'd like some time to have some input on it. And what you're pushing now is a yes-no vote on something that, you know, people would like to have more input on. So
we'll be coming back on February 7th to discuss and have public testimony on each of these. And that's, I think, 2 weeks from yesterday. So we will be coming back on February 7th to look
at each. We're certainly not looking for a yes-no vote today.
I'm talking about making modifications, and so it would appear the way the process was set up, and I just want to ask this explicitly, that the commission is essentially deferring to the council to make whatever changes we'd like once the public makes input, because otherwise there is no chance for the public to input and have any changes. I mean, unless you're deferring to us, then the hearing on February 7th is not meaningful.
No, the position of the Charter Review Commission is that the set of recommendations that you received are the Charter Review Commission's recommendations. You're certainly free to add or modify. I mean, that's within your power. But the recommendations stand as the Charter Review Commission's recommendations.
I get what's in our power. I guess what's concerning me is that by not giving the public a chance to take a final report, and realistically, it may have been floating around for a while, but, you know, when reports get published and accepted by the council, media starts to write, people start paying attention, you're now putting us in the position of, if the public, you know, comes in and testifies and we agree, then you don't have any chance to respond. I just think there's a step missing in this thing.
You know, they had many meetings where they were televised and they were public meetings, so the public could come in and talk to these issues. So the public has had a lot of input into the recommendations that the commission finally came up with. I think that the value of this discussion bears out the need that we do have to discuss this. One of the issues is putting a specific proposal out and then spending 4 months prior to an election discussing it with the community, I think will clearly have the community aligned around the different issues, the four separate areas, in a way that that will allow the public to make the decision in May for the primary election.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your patience, Mayor, and Chair Wong, thanks again for your service, and thanks to the commission. I hope you don't take any of my comments with any disrespect. I think you guys have done very good work, and it's how the process goes.
If I could follow up, Mayor.
Yes.
I appreciated the exchange with you and Commissioner Stinn, not only today, but when we had the opportunity to, which just was a happenstance opportunity that Commissioner Stinn and I were able to meet with you and your colleagues in my office. It was really, I felt more like a spectator, as people will better understand today after hearing Commissioner Stinn, and a spectator of what I consider to be a really a marvelous exchange. I enjoyed it very much. And I, too, appreciate very much not only your work, David, but that to show you've earned this place of honor to be where you're at, and it means a lot to me. I did have some things I was going to ask, but I would like to follow up on this last exchange Commissioner Stinn and you had on kind of the process and the timeline and whatnot. And I guess I this is less of a question than of a concern, and I raised it with you when we met in my office. Given, and I think it was last June that you all came in and made the report you did to council, I think by most independent observers' assessment of that meeting, the concerns raised by a majority of the council, three, were clear. And they don't seem to have changed. I mean, the positions and the places that the Charter Review Commission was back in June and the concerns the council are raising today are the same as we raised in June. Neither of those sides have changed, in my view, substantially. So the concern I have about the argument that you make that you have been meeting a long time, and you have, and that you have taken a lot of testimony, and you have, and I have been among those that have testified, is it doesn't seem to have made much difference in what you ended up with. And certainly there is the value of hearings, but there's also a value of hearing what's being said. And a majority of the council, as I told you in our meeting, clearly was concerned about some of where you were going last June. It just doesn't seem to have made any difference in your final recommendation. So I'm concerned that, I guess I'm echoing Commissioner Stinn, that there hasn't been enough earnest exchange with the public on this topic and on your recommendations, given that that even a majority of this council had concerns and it didn't get reflected in your report. I'm thinking that that probably wouldn't have been much different with those that may have disagreed where you were heading during the development of the report.
After the June 2006 work session, the Charter Review Commission essentially started from square one. We restarted a lot of our analysis and paying a special attention to the issues that each of you raised during the work session. We were asked to find empirical evidence of other cities that used this mayor-council CAO structure, and we have. It's in the written report. We were asked to find a structure with checks and balances to avoid an imperial mayor. We believe that we found one. We were asked to consider giving city council budget authority over the PDC. We engaged in that analysis, examined existing state law, talked with outside legal experts, and came to a conclusion with regard to the extent that city council can exercise budget authority over the PDC. You asked us to show how the recommended form is efficient and fair. We believe that we've done that, and our explanation is contained in our written report. You asked us to show how the recommendations address fundamental concerns of economic security, the quality of urban life, affordability. We believe that we've done that. In the mayor, council, chief administrative officer form, city council takes a holistic view of the city, adopts unified policies that address priorities rather than tackling them on a bureau-by-bureau basis. So, Commissioner, I'd have to disagree with you. I think that we've gone back and looked at our various recommendations. We restarted the analysis. And perhaps you're right, at the end of the day, after that second analysis, it may look a lot like what we came to you with on a preliminary basis back in June. But it does not mean that we didn't undergo a separate, independent, thorough analysis in the second half of the year.
So I'm sorry, you just said that you listed other cities in the report that you used as models for your recommendations. Can you point me to that?
Sure. We didn't list the cities themselves, but in the written materials that are cited on page 23, some of those reference articles have empirical listings of cities and their forms of government.
But I don't want to misstate what you said, but it seemed rather clear because that's been a major issue for me and others. Do you have a city that you can point to that you used as a model? And I thought I heard you say that one of the criticisms that you heard at the June meeting with us is point to cities that use this model that you're recommending successfully, and I thought I just heard you say that you did.
No, I did not say that we should point to cities that use this model successfully. Again, that's getting to the wrong question. The question that was posed is there empirical evidence that shows whether other cities are using this form of government successfully or not is a subjective issue for the reasons we discussed before.
The answer to that is yes.
I don't understand.
There are successful models that empirically have demonstrated to the commission that they use